This is OTB Sports Radio.
For Brady, in American football, it is incredibly specific and very, very few people get to hit him. He should be in an armchair ride. He runs on, he runs off. It's about having a really good arm. Rugby is multidiscipline. They call him a quarterback. That's lazy journalism, in my view. Johnny is our best out half.
Off the Ball, Saturdays from 1 on OTB Sports Radio. Listen live on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
It is time for Alan Quinlan. Good morning, Quiddy.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Flying it and really dialed in and excited, to be honest, about what an unbelievable weekend of sport we have ahead, and maybe none more so than the game tomorrow night. Like, the record is 5-0, and we've chatted long and hard about that over the last number of months and beyond in terms of the disparity of it, but there's nothing more than a cigarette paper, it feels, if even that, between them at this stage.
Yeah, it seems that way. I think everybody's talking about this being Munster's chance, and maybe this is their time. You know, when you've lost five in the bounce, there has to be a desperation that it's not six, and there's high stakes in this one. You know, it's a final. There's a trophy on offer. Munster haven't won one in nearly 10 years. So there's been very little between them other than Leinster being ruthless and knowing how to win and creating, taking opportunities when they've come. You go back to the semi-final, and I think this one probably lives in the memory of and frustrated a lot of Munster fans after the game, the semi-final back in September, where Munster are chasing the game. Leinster managed, nudged themselves in front again. They're chasing the game, and maybe the approach then when they are chasing it, kicking the ball away, probably frustrated a lot. And that kind of was highlighted a fair bit, and there was a fair bit of criticism towards Munster for that. I think the key for Munster is not to be chasing the game, because I think at times when they're, you know, the game in August when rugby returned was a brilliant game, and I thought there was so many positives and signs that Munster were being more expansive. They were taking opportunities and creating chances. There was certainly times in that game where they didn't take opportunities that were there. But I'd rather see that than maybe see what we finish with in that semi-final. So Leinster still have a real winning mentality and culture. Are they as good as they have been in the last couple of years? Well, they're without James Ryan, they're without Gary Ringrose. They're two world-class players on their day, top internationals. So they'll be a loss for them, but they still have so many good players and seasoned internationals and really seasoned Pro 14 European players who have a cohesion and a togetherness that they get the job done when it needs to be done. But there's optimism for Munster for sure.
And Will Connors, I think, is out as well, isn't he? And it'll be interesting to see when the teams are named as to exactly how they stack up. It looks like they're both going to go for it. Just on the chasing the game point, so, like, I don't know, did you see or were you looking at the result of the Ospreys game last week where Leinster are, was it 19-3 up or whatever, and then coughing up the game at the end of it? Were you looking at that thinking that has created a chink in the armour that gives Munster hope that even if they do go behind, that there's something very recent for them to point to and go, listen, this is not, albeit a bit of an aberration in terms of Leinster over the last few years, but like that there is hope there the game isn't always going to get fully away from you.
I'm not sure there's much relevance, Adrian. It's totally two different teams. You could look at it in a sense and say, well, maybe they showed a little bit of vulnerability or switched off a little bit. Is there a chink in the armour? Is there a drop in standards? Is there... But to be honest, if I was a player, I wouldn't be going, well, Ospreys did this and Ospreys did that last week and they scored tries. It's totally different personnel. You could argue that Leinster they're the type of games that they haven't lost in the last number of years. This relentless pressure and energy that they have, even if they've a second stroke, third team out. And I was always impressed by their ability to keep a very high standard, albeit the rugby is slightly different when their top players are playing as opposed to, you know, the next in line. But there's been a very high standard around defence and the precision of what they're doing, and that's come from good coaching, obviously, as well, and a standard they kind of try to adhere to throughout the whole squad. So I wouldn't look hugely into it, very slightly actually, but I suppose you could say, and if highlighted, look, if Munster win the game, maybe it'll come up that,
yeah,
you know, maybe the whole squad aren't as strong as they have been in years gone by, and maybe the couple of injuries have affected them, and maybe Munster have got better. I don't know, but I don't see huge significance of that at all.
Yeah. Like, geez, when you look at the combinations, if they both go as full bore as they can, it's very hard to separate when you look. I've not known a game like it where you look at the combinations across the pitch with the potential teams and try to figure out which is more dominant in which area. If they were both to go full bore at it, where do you see, which combinations are you looking at that you think?
With the area that Leinster, obviously, if you kind of put them out on paper, it looks like Keane Healy, Ronan Keller and Andrew Porter will start. So that's an area that, you know, there's three internationals there, regular internationals, current internationals who are playing at a top level. Whereas if you look at the Munster three that may play, it looks like it'll be James Cronin, Niall Scannell and Stephen Archer. They're not involved in the Irish squad. They're not playing these internationals. And I'm not being critical of them, but I think that's an area where Munster have to perform, not just in the scrums, but in the loose, balls they carry, tackles they make, turnovers they affect. And that's one area that jumps out to me, that Leinster on paper and on current form are better. You know, you put Fardy and Toner, who probably start in the second row. Maybe Ryan Baird will start in the second row. I don't know. There's speculation in the papers, but whichever two out of that three start there, they're very, very good players. Tadhg Byrne is probably one of the players of the Six Nations. Looks like he's a certainty to be on a plane for a Lions tour. Himself and Robbie Henshaw were the standout players for Ireland. John Klein has got to perform. You know, if he's coming up against Fardy's been so consistent and so good for Leinster. So it concerns me that front five would concern me. Aside from the fact that Tadhg Byrne has been brilliant, he can't just do this on his own. Leinster are very cohesive and they have a lot of experience there, you know. As I said, Fardy is really shrewd and cute and the way he plays, and he affects a lot of big moments in games and doesn't give up anything easy. So that, for me, that's the challenge. If you look at Munster's backline that they potentially will have, if Murray and Carberry get good ball, D'Alinde is world-class. Chris Farrell is an international who we haven't seen a spark from him. He needs a big game. Conway and Earls, and Earls has been on fire. Conway, I'm sure, will have a point to prove. He's a great finisher. And Mike Haley's been pretty good for Munster. So if they get quality ball, but it's all ifs and buts, Adrian. And you know, Conan Ruddock and Van der Fleer, you know, these guys have been there before, played against Munster and come out on top. So for me, the challenge is, and where it's going to be won or lost, is up front. And not just about scrums lineouts, because I think Munster's lineout has struggled a little bit. They've got to get that right. But I think around the pitch in multi-phase, what are those Munster forwards going to do? Are they going to be accurate? Are they going to carry the ball? Are they going to make big tackles? Because I think Leinster, the tempo they play with, and again, that's a challenge for Munster to try and stop that tempo. But the concern, if Munster's backs get enough of ball, and they can cause problems. I think if Carberry, he can be a game changer for Munster here. You look 2 years ago in the semi-final in 2019, and I was looking back at it, the only change in the back line is Damien D'Alinde is playing 12 for Munster ahead of Rory Scannell. What happened that day? They lost 25-9, I think. They didn't take opportunities. They didn't execute. They were disjointed up front, and Leinster just pressurized them into submission. So Munster's forwards have got to step up to the plate. There's no point in talking about this and people saying it's a great opportunity and it's this and it's that. They've got to, you know, really step up, be confrontational, and put pressure back on Leinster, who are an incredibly good side, and they've shown that. It's their fourth final, it's their fourth trophy they're going for in a row in the Pro 14. That's not coincidence. The standards are different, the quality's been different. And, you know, from a Munster point of view, and I say this myself as a Munster man, I hope we're not talking about the same stuff on Monday. If Leinster win this game, which I still kind of can't see past, I still can see them doing that, Munster have to show signs that, and they have shown it this season, of improvement, of expansive, more expansive approach, of better evasion and contact, of not being so predictable. They've shown us that at different stages. Because of the nature of the internationals away and the chopping and changing all the time, it's hard to kind of get consistency in that. But, you know, they've got, if they lose the game, I hope it's a game, if they don't win, if Munster don't win and they produce something like they did in the first game in August, where it was 27-25, you know, they can take something forward. If it's the same old story, it's the same record again that's, you know, running out, I think.
What about when it comes to potential Leinster weaknesses then, Alan? Is there, this is clutching at straws, is there a possibility that you could target maybe an out-of-confidence James Lowe tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's you have to be careful about targeting people because it can backfire on you. James Lowe will be incredibly pumped up for this game. And, you know, I think he'd be frustrated and upset, disappointed with what happened. And when he puts on that blue jersey, he doesn't usually... We haven't seen any bad games from him. So, but yeah, if you get enough of quality ball and you get, you know, Conway and Earls running at him, I think he's been the dominant force and he's been involved in a lot of big moments in this fixture in the last couple of years. Vulnerabilities are, you know, when you take James Rowe and Gary Ringrose out of a team and Will Connors, guys who were top class internationals, I think Will Connors was, you know, his form was brilliant for Ireland. James Ryan was back to, you know, performing at a very high level. We know Gary Ringrose wasn't where we know he can be, but there's three big players out there. And you know, the centre partnership, Robbie Henshaw, he's got like, it's a bit like Tadhg Byrne. Can they go out and produce the same type of level and intensity? They have a 6-day turnaround, Leinster, next week against Toulon. And I just think on... If Munster were to win this game and not win a game and be knocked out of Europe next week, it'd be seen as a really good season with a lot of progression, a lot of young players, and they have a trophy. Something that they can throw up on the shelf and say, we've got there, we've ended that run. Whereas if they were to lose the game and have a bit of a run in Europe in the next few weeks and maybe get to a semi-final, it's seen as a failure season again. So there's really fine margins in this. You know, can they target Leinster? Are Leinster as good as the team that won the European Cup a couple of years ago? No, they're not. And there's a fair bit of transition going on, but they've been building that depth for a couple of years. And a lot of the players who play tomorrow, you know, have played throughout the season for them in the Pro 14. Luke McGrath is someone that will be incredibly frustrated for that he's not been involved with Ireland, but he's been brilliant with Leinster all season. You know, as I said about Fardy, he's, you know, a lot of consistency there. Rory O'Loughlin, the centre, you know, he's again, performed at a very high level in these fixtures. So, Jordan Larmour, you know, they have players chomping at the bit as well, Leinster, you know. And for anyone thinking that they'll slacken off a little bit and they'll be a bit relaxed about this, it's don't be fooled by that. Leinster will... in no way drop their standards any bit. In fact, you know, this is probably a perfect game to fire them up and get them going again for a run in Europe. They'll fancy their chances in Europe as they always do, but they're desperately hungry for trophies as well. So that frightens me, that kind of mental attitude and when it comes to Leinster and their quality that they've shown. But someone asked me earlier in the week, we did some press on Monday for this game, is it now or never? It has a feeling of that now or never for Munster because they could get so much good out of winning it. But if they don't win it, we need to see a performance on, you know, and they have to find those vulnerabilities themselves. And they can only do that by holding onto the ball and building lots of phases. You know, they've done so many good things in this fixture in recent times, but just at those crucial moments, they haven't got across the line. And a lot of that is down to brilliant resilience that Leinster have. They're a team that can hang on for dear life at times, and really they're aggressive in defence, and they're very, very powerful at upsetting the opposition. So a lot of challenges for Munster. But, you know, I think they need that front five to really perform for them tomorrow. And then it's game on then, because it doesn't mean that Munster are going to win the game. It's game on, and it's a real opportunity then. So that's the crucial area for me.
Yeah, and like with all that in the melting pot, Quinny, we haven't even mentioned Dave Kearney, who's one of the form players across the back three in any team in the Pro 14 at the minute. And the same applies to both in terms of the options that are there. There's huge options. But with that pressure of wanting to get that trophy in the cabinet, what sort of how do you expect the game to play out? Will they both play to that sort of, like, they've both been in the habit of flinging it out a bit, a little bit more expansive? Or with that pressure on it, the pressure of the rivalry, with everything in mind over the coming weeks, are we like to see a slightly different game plan, or how do you think it'll pan out?
I think you'll see a mixture, Adrian. I think there'll be a tempo to the game and an energy to these games that are always there. Because it's a final, I think, you know, both sides are going to have to bin Europe next week in their minds, whoever take to the field. There's absolutely going to be a certain level of amount of kicking in the game, because, you know, Leinster kick a fair bit themselves, but they kick. And when they get into the right areas, they seem to come away with a score. So they put themselves in a kind of a comfortable position where we don't analyse their kicks and why are they kicking it, because usually they're not chasing games. When they have to, then they can turn up the heat, you know. So I think we're going to see a real spark to this game. You know, the rivalry has been questioned over the years because... but discipline is key, because, you know, and we saw that game in the semi-final back in September. It was JJ Hanrahan missed a few kicks that were really, really vital. So I think Munster, they don't necessarily have to be leading this game, but they've got to stay in that one score region of Leinster, because Leinster just manage games so well. So I think we're going to see him throw the ball around. Yes, for sure. You know, depending on the weather, it's supposed to deteriorate a little bit, be windy, possibly wet. But hopefully it's kind of, you know, the weather isn't too bad for the game. But, you know, I think it's a different type of year. It's, it's crazy with everything that's happened with the pandemic. But we're at the end of March. And I think neither team is going to win this by being pragmatic and putting the ball up the jumper.
And... I mean, I can't believe the words are coming out of my mouth, but it sounded like you were saying Leinster are going to win.
Well, as it stands, I think Leinster, because of all the stuff I said there, because they're what they've done in the last few years, and their ability to get results and just be ruthless and execute, I think they'll just about shade it. But like I said,
you don't believe that, Quinny. Come on now.
No, I do believe it. Unfortunately, I can't allow myself to say Munster are going to win this game. I do believe that they have a great chance, but they need to kind of shut people up as well and just do the bloody job. Stop talking about it and actually step up and not have the same rubbish after the game again that, well, this went wrong, that went wrong, we should have done this. I'm not saying they were saying that, but they're the debates that we're having and Munster fans are having and people outside of the group. They've got to front up now, and this is their chance. And if they're good enough, and if they bring a real attitude and that front five perform, I really believe Munster can win it and possibly will win it. But I'm just, because of that experience that Leinster have as individual players and collectively, they know how to win these games. And yeah. I think possibly that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's no excuses, essentially.
There has to be a bit of an attitude with that, you know. And look, I kind of say from my point of view, it's easy on the outside kind of analysing all this stuff, and you try not to be criticising for the sake of it. But you kind of, how many times have we heard in the last couple of years that that's not good enough and we know we can do better? It's time to put up or shut up now at this stage. there's a lot of really positive things happening in Munster rugby, and we've listed all the young fellas that are coming through many times, and there's a lot of good young fellas that have come through this year. And I do believe that there's change happening. And you know, that incredible result in Claremont, I'm kind of contradicting myself when I say chasing the game, because they were chasing the hell out of that game and they got back and they won it. But I think chasing against Leinster is different at home. They just make it really, really difficult for you if you're chasing against them. But, I hope they just bring a performance and that they're in the mix. And then maybe they'll get that bounce of the ball, that bit of luck that maybe they'll create and deserve.
Yeah, I find myself in the weird position where you're going for Leinster, and I actually think that I've never felt more concerned that Munster are going to get it done this weekend.
Brilliant. But you're going for Munster, so
it's a weird scenario. We'll see how it pans out. One of us more informed than the other one. Let's state the obvious.
Well, who knows?
I was interested looking at Clive Woodward's. I don't know if you saw it. He named his 15 that he would select for the Lions. If and when it goes ahead, it seems at this stage. And I was scanning to see what the Irish players were, and there weren't many of them. There was 6 Welsh, 6 English, a couple of Scots, and Tadhg Byrne flying the flag on his own. It seems like there might be. I mean, there is a case for some more Irish players in there. Agree or disagree with that? Soul inclusion.
Well, I haven't seen it, to be honest, but six English players sounds like a lot.
Well, he's given the nod to the likes of Henry Slade, Watson, Farrell.
I wouldn't go with any of them. I think Ty Furlong should be number 3, and I think most people, not just Irish, would agree with that. I don't think Henry Slade should be. There's an argument for Henry Slade in a sense. I understand where he's coming from, because we've seen no real 13 grab a hold of that jersey throughout the tournament. To be fair, there's a lot of people have picked George North as a 13.
Henshaw?
I'd be picking Henshaw as a 12. But if they pick... I think Henshaw has to be, as it stands, Henshaw starts for the Lions, either as a 12 or 13. And then it just depends who you play with him. So if they play Owen Farrell and pick Owen Farrell, who I thought had a poor tournament, he's still a top quality player and he's a real warrior and he's hard and he's great experience. I suppose there'd be debatable decisions about it, but I just can't see 6 English players, given what we saw last week. And like, not taken away from the Irish performance, Scotland beat them and Wales beat them. I think it's the first time since the 70s that happens, that they've lost against all 3. So they've been poor, and I don't think you deserve to be picked in Lions tours on some occasions you'll get the nod given what you've done before. But I think too many of the English players have been too poor in this tournament. Maybe the French, maybe Clive is basing some of it on the French performance, which is fair enough. And they've probably surprised a lot of us where they've been at. But I think the Irish, Sexton and Murray put themselves back in the frame. It's crazy. We're talking about these guys not being performing for Ireland. Now, most of the English press are picking them on a Lions tour. You know, there's a couple of areas that... And that scrum half spot is another area where nobody really has grabbed hold of it. And, Gareth Davies wasn't getting picked for Wales at the start of the tournament. Now suddenly he's the starting lines scrum half for a lot of people. And Conor Murray is back in around there as well. So,
who would you go for 10, Quinny, if you had to pick it today?
I pick Johnny Sexton at the moment from what we've seen. And Sexton and Bigger have been the two best fly halves. So... I think both of them should be there, and it just depends whether I think Farrell will be the other 10-12. I think if Farrell is on the lines, he plays at 10. I don't think you're going to I don't think we've seen enough of him at 12 playing well enough there in the Six Nations. But I go back to what I always say, and I'm saying it about the Munster-Leinster game. It's difficult for George Ford. It's difficult for Owen Farrell. Their pack let him down last week. And we look at players then who are under more pressure when they receive the ball. So I'm not what we've seen last week, probably Sexton.
Just one before we let you go. We'll have plenty of time to chat lines with you over the course of the year. JJ Hanrahan signing a 2-year deal with Clermont. Good business all around.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great deal for all around. I don't know, but I think for JJ, when I saw it and heard about it, I think, you know, fair play to him. It's he knows what's happening probably in Munster. That look, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that there needs to be change, and there's a hope that more younger players come through. JJ has been there for a number of years, and I listened to Rod this morning. You know, some of the big games, he's come in for criticism, and it's been difficult for him. But I think he's performed in other games where he hasn't got enough of credit for it. You know, so there's been it's been at times a mixed bag. A great bloke who's always kind of turned up and tried to do the best for the jersey he's on. And I just think this is refreshing for him now as a player coming towards the end of his career. Last couple of years, however long he plays, but he could, you know, he could be sitting in an armchair as a 10 for Clermont when he plays there, because more often than not, they have an incredible amount of firepower in front of them in the forward pack, and they throw the ball around everywhere. So it's not as structured as sometimes maybe the Irish rugby is. So I think he'll love it, and I think it's a great move for him.
Yeah, well, plenty of rugby to dissect next week as well, and we'll chat to you about it then. But enjoy the weekend's rugby. Thanks, Quinny.
Cheers, lads. Thanks.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.